بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. My brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, we continue our tafsir of Surah Luqman. We are up to the second lesson and we stopped at verse number 5. We'll continue with verse number 6. And as a quick reminder of what we said last week, that this Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, and the verses of it full of wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Qur'an full of wisdom and as a way of life, and to guide mankind, to purify the soul of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Qur'an put the framework and the boundaries mankind should live in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا.
Verily, this Qur'an guides to that which is most just and right, and gives a glad tiding to the believers. The believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who work deeds of righteousness, that they shall have a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this Qur'an guides lillati hiya aqwam, to which is most just. The justice in Islam and in the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take this Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a primary source in our life and a guidance in our life. And as we will see in the following verses, anyone who turns away from the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed will be tormented and humiliated in the hellfire. Because this Qur'an came to purify us, came to clean our soul, came to clean our life and to cleanse it from all the filth that might hang on it from this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and listen how beautiful are the words of Allah.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ.
And of mankind is he who purchases idle talks to mislead from the path of Allah without knowledge, and takes it, the path of Allah and the verses of Allah and the Quran, by a way of mockery. For such there will be a humiliation, torment in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse told us to remain away and to stay away from the idle talk. And idle talk is every talk that turn your heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idle talk, any talk that wastes your time, that has no benefit in your life. Because mankind must not waste his time with idle talk. Muslims, my brothers and sisters in Islam, must not waste their time in idle talk. Because you have a great role Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to this earth for. First and foremost, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth, which is by spreading the da'wah. So the Muslim, his life revolves around two lines: learning Islam, implementing Islam, and delivering Islam. And anything else that comes to turn you away from that, it is considered in the Sharia is idle talk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and highlighted for us in this Quran that from amongst the people there would be people, يُضُلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they turn you away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another recitation, لِيَضُلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to the meaning that this idle talk will turn him away from the correct path. So not only in one recitation which we read, Hafs, that to turn others away from the correct path, also according to the qira'ah of Abu Amr ibn Kathir, لِيَضُلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So by purchasing idle talk, you misleading yourself astray. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this verse was revealed, as the ulama of tafsir, they said, this verse is about An-Nadr ibn al-Harith. An-Nadr ibn al-Harith, my brothers and sisters in Islam, he used to buy books that contains the stories of the kings of Persia and Roman and old nations. And he used to buy Al-Ghaniyat, the singers and dancers, where he used to go where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit, and he used to sit in his path. Anyone who was going to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen to the Quran, he used to recite upon them his stories and his fairy tales, and make him listen to the Ghaniyat, to the girl singers, to lead him away from listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this person, wal'iyadhu billah, he used to purchase the idle talk, as the ulama said, to mislead from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيُضُلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, to mislead from the path of Allah without knowledge. He described him that he mislead the people away from the straight path without knowledge. So that person has no knowledge of what he is doing because he's ignorant. So he is an ignorant person. With his ignorance, he misleads the people, wal'iyadhu billah. And anyone who does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not know Islam and the beauty of Islam, he is an ignorant person. He is covered from the reality, and he does not know the beauty of Islam. He is jahil, ignorant. Anyone who is away from the straight path because he is jahil, the knowledgeable person is the one who is on the straight path. That person, he acts based on no knowledge by giving the people the idle talk, by presenting the people music, singing, gossip, slander, and
idle talk, wal'iyadhu billah, which has no benefit.
And he does not speak with wisdom, and he does not think with wisdom, and he has a bad intention, wal'iyadhu billah. Imagine that person with the bad intention, he calls you and say, oh yeah, sister, oh brother, have you heard the latest song? Have you heard the latest tune? Did you get the latest song for such and such a singer? A person of ignorant, swimming and drowning with ignorance, and he's trying to promote that ignorance by passing it on to you, wal'iyadhu billah. So he misguards himself and he misguards others, and whatever he spends, it's going to be against him in the day of judgment. And all of this because of his ignorance. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he misleads the people based on his ignorance. And he would take the verses of Allah as a mockery. He would not take it seriously. He will not uphold the words of Allah. He does not want to listen to the word of Allah. And for that, لَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. He will face a humiliating torment and punishment in Jahannam. What I want to talk to you about today, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that this verse, the main verse that the ulama use as a proof for the prohibition of listening to music. I have collected some of the proofs for you today to present it to you about the prohibition of music. The first verse used is that verse that I just recited. What did Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said? Idle talk is the ghina, singing. And I want to drive your attention here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to something very important. That when we talk about singing, are we really talking about the singing that used to occur in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the singing of today? Yani here the verses is talking about the singing that used to take place in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was far more respectable than the music that happens today. Yet the Quran prohibited us and sent the revelation about the music that used to happen in the days of the Prophet ﷺ. How about the music of today, which is full of nudity, full of evil words, full of rubbish, full of incitement to zina, full of incitement for intoxication, full of incitement to take drugs, full of incitement to lead to the life of gangsters, wal'iyadhu billah. All this in the modern music today. Till singers today have cults following them. So when we want to draw a line and say, is the music halal or haram? My brothers and sisters, we need to think, what type of music are we talking about? We can't use the music that used to happen 1400 years ago and say, okay, the ulama, there is some opinion that said it is allowed, and use that as an opinion of what's happening today. Today the music is full of felony, full of evil, full of drugs, full of cult-lit life. But yet the Sharia made it clear to us that the music, all of it, whether in the days of the Prophet ﷺ or this music, is haram. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, this verse is talking about the ghina music. And Mujahid, whom he is the student of Ibn Abbas, and the ulama said about Mujahid, if the tafsir comes to you through the Mujahid, فَهُوَ حَسْبُكَ, it suffices you. He said, اللَّهُ وَالطَّبْلُ, اللَّهُ, idle talk and music, and the tabl, the drumming. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, and it is sufficient for us that the Sahaba and their students interpreted lahw al-hadith, the idle talk, that it is music. And as it is authentically narrated from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud. And listen to this narration of Ibn Mas'ud about this verse. وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ هُوَ الْغِنَاءُ يُرَدِّدُهَا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Ibn Mas'ud said, by Allah, the one whom there is no deity worthy of worship except him, it is singing, it is singing, it is singing. He repeated singing three times. Subhanallah al-Azim. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu authentically narrated to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that he said it is singing. The meaning of the verse is wide. The word idle talk, lahu al-hadith, it's an umbrella term. Under it, everything that is idle talk and waste of time, and specifically music, as the companions they have said. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he continued to say, والغناءُ أشدُّ لهوًا وأعظمُ ضررًا من أحاديث الملوك وأخبارهم. And music, it is far more evil and more dangerous than the stories of the kings and their fairy tales. Here he said, الغناءُ. Al-ghina means music, and to the meaning he's saying music and singing more dangerous, far more evil than the stories of the kings and their fairy tales. And he said, فَإِنَّهُ رُقْيَةُ الزِّنَا, it leads to zina, وَمُنْبِتُ النِّفَاقِ, and makes hypocrisy grows in the heart, وَشَرْكُ الشَّيْطَانِ, and that it is the trap of Satan, وَخَمْرَةُ الْعَقْلِ, and intoxicates the mind. وصده عن القرآن أعظم من صده عن غيره من الكلام الباطل لشدة ميل النفوس إليه ورغبتها فيه. It blocks the heart and it blocks you from the Quran more than anything else, because the nafs tend to lean towards the music. So this is the first verse which is we recited now. The second verse in Surah Al-Najm, verse number 59-61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ.
Allah says to the meaning, do you then wonder at this recitation, the Quran, and you laugh at it and weep not, wasting your precious lifetime in pastime and amusement singing? What did the ulama say here? Ikrima, he said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, As-sumud al-ghina fi lughat Himyar. So there is a tribe in Yemen, it's called Himyar. And in their dialect, in their Arabic dialect, they used to call singing sumud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saying here that from this Quran, you wonder and does not make you cry while you are wasting your time with singing and playing. So subhanallah. If you relate the two verses to each other, it is either the Quran or music. So you're either a lover of the Quran, someone who regularly recites the Quran, or you're a lover and music. And as Ibn al-Qayyim, he said once, the love of music and the love of Quran does not meet in one heart. They do not come together in one heart. And I mean with music, playing instrumental music and singing at the same time. Both of them do not meet in one heart. One heart cannot encompass both. So you need to check your heart. Is your heart with the Quran of the Rahman, the Quran that he sent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or with the Quran of the Shaitan, which is music?
Another dalil for this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدُهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا.
And befool them gradually those whom you can among them with your voice, and make assault on them with your cavalry and your infantry. Share with them the wealth and their children, and make a promise to them, but Satan promises them nothing but deceit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, befool them gradually those whom you can among them with your voice. Here Mujahid said, his voice is singing and music. It is singing and music. That is the voice of Shaitan, to lure people. And you would see anyone who is lured to any sin has to be music involved. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, everyone who rides, who mounts an animal and travel to practice a sin, he is one of the cavalry of the shaitan. And anyone who walks to a sin, he is from the infantry of the shaitan. Look at how the shaitan befool them. They get dressed, listen to the music, walk to the ma'siyah, they become one of the armies and one of the junood, one of the soldiers of shaitan. They prepare themselves to go out, get dressed with a nice cloth that brings the attention of people, which is brings out the aura of the men and women, go out to listen to music, walk to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ride to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you become a soldier from the soldiers of shaitan. Wal'iyadhu billah. Also from the sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تبيعوا القينات ولا تشتروهن ولا تعلموهن ولا خير في تجارة فيهن وثمنهن حرام في مثل هذا أنزلت هذه الآية ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليدل على سبيل الله. حديث حسن. It was reported from أمامة رضي الله عنه that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not sell singing slave women, do not buy them and do not teach them. There is nothing good in this trade, and their price is haram. Concerning such things as this, the ayah was revealed, and of mankind is he who purchases idle talks. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear to us that do not buy singing women. What is the hadith about? In the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to buy little slave girls that used to sing and amuse the people. And these girls used to sing. Those traders used to collect the money from the people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying, do not buy them, do not sell them. Their money that you make is haram. And how do we implement this hadith on our daily life? Do not organize concerts. Do not take part in organizing musical concerts. Do not be part of it. Do not buy the tickets. Do not sell the tickets. Do not become an agent for the tickets. Do not buy musical CDs. Do not sell musical CDs. Do not get involved yourself in the trading of music, because the money of this is haram. And you are feeding yourself and your family unlawful wealth. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is in Bukhari Mu'allaq, he said, لَا يَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَّ وَالْحَرِيرَ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. Among my ummah, there will certainly be people who permit zina, silk, alcohol, and musical instruments. So here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, from my ummah, from the ummah of Islam, there is people who will permit such evil. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, there is two ways from this hadith we can understand that musical instrument and music and singing is haram. How? The first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, permit. That means the basic principle about them to be haram. Then some people will permit them. Permit them by what? By attending and listening and being part of this environment. And they would say it is allowed. Also, there is another way of deriving that it is a sin and a major sin. Here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, قرن المعازف مع المقطوع حرمته وهو الزنا والخمر ولو لم تكن محرمة لما قرنها معها. So here, listen how beautiful the understanding of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with what he coupled ma'azif And ma'azif in the Arabic language would mean Allahu, instruments of music. Of course, the instruments of music that mean music with it is haram also. So here he said, listen how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coupled musical instruments with alcohol, silk, and zina, adultery. He coupled them, all of them, in one sequence, in one sentence. Yani he said, the music and the musical instruments and alcohol and silk and zina. All of this, zina, wearing silk, drinking alcohol and musical instrument, he put them all in one sentence and in one sequence. So he's saying here, look at what he coupled them with. He did not couple music with something that is minor sin. No, he coupled them with the major sin of zina and wearing silk and drinking alcohol. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if we also look in depth in this hadith, we'll find that all this, they come together. All this, they come together. If you just see someone who goes out to a nightclub, first, he dresses with garments which is haram, that shows his awrah. Short skirts, high heels, skimpy t-shirts. A man, he dresses in a very tight jeans and very tight t-shirts, showing his awrah. Then going to a nightclub where you'd listen to the music, drinking the alcohol and taking drugs, then end up what? Picking up a girl, or she picks up a guy, and they end up in a bedroom fornicating in illegal way. Wal'iyadhu billah. So as you see, that all of this, it is the part of one scene. Wearing the haram clothing, drinking the alcohol, listen to music, and end up doing zina and haram. Wal'iyadhu billah. So as you see, the Prophet ﷺ put them all in one sequence and in one hadith. Nafi' said that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he heard a flute, woodwind instruments. He put his fingers in his ears and he changed his path and he said, Ya Nafi', hal tasma'u shay'an? He said, oh Nafi', can you hear anything? He said, no. Then he removed his fingers from his ears and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard the same thing and he has done the same thing, and this is in Abu Dawood and it's authentic. So as you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the companions, when they used to hear music, they used to put their fingers in their ears. But let me bring your attention here to something very important, especially us who live in the West. If you go to a department store, like here we have Woolworths, Coles or Kmart or any of those stores, where there is music played all the time in that stores, what do we do? Do we stop getting our needs? We put our fingers in our ears and we push the trolley with our gut? So how do we do it? Of course, here, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he made it clear for us. As he said in Majmu' al-Fatawi, أَمَّا مَا لَمْ يَقْصُدْهُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنَ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ فَلَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ نَهْيٌ وَلَا ذَمْ بِاتِّفَاقِ الْأَئِمَّةِ وَلِهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ الذَّمْ وَالْمَدْحَ عَلَى الْإِسْتِمَاعِ لَلسَّمَاعِ فالمستمع للقرآن يثاب عليه والسامع له من غير قصد ولا إرادة لا يثاب على ذلك إذ الأعمال بالنيات وكذلك ما ينهى عنه من الملاهي لو سمعه بدون قصد لم يضره ذلك. هي شيخ الإسلام, he said, concerning music which a person does not intend to listen to, he said, there is no prohibition nor a blame on him. No one can blame him for that. According to the scholarly consensus. So according to the consensus of scholars, if someone did not intend, then there is no harm on him. Hence, blame or praise is connected to al-istima'i lassama'. Al-istima' is to listen, to intend, to hear it, to listen. Lassama', which is hearing. Yani, you just heard it, you never intended to hear it. And he said, فَالْمُسْتَمِعُ لِلْقُرْآنِ يُثَابُ عَلَيْهِ. The listener, the one who intended to hear the Qur'an, he will get benefit and reward from it. وَالسَّامِعُ لَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ قَصْدٍ وَلَا إِرَادَةٍ لَا يُثَابُ عَلَيْهِ. And the one who hears it with no intention nor a will, he is not rewarded for that. إِذِ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Indeed, deeds by intention. Then he continued to say, rahimahullah, the same applies to musical instruments which are forbidden. So the same thing applies to them. If you didn't intend it,
If you don't have the intention to listen to them, then there is no harm on you. But if you listen to them intentionally, then there is a harm on you. If a person hears them without intending to, that does not matter, as he said in Majmu' al-Fatawi. So we understand from this fatwa of Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, ibn Taymiyyah. You enter a store playing music. You never intended to listen to it, and you need to be in that store, then there is no harm. But not to intend to enter the store to listen to the music. And also what one need to remember, that if there is a store not playing the music, it is better to go to the stores that is not playing the music. And all of this is based also a need and necessity. You don't need to go to a restaurant that plays music and to say that, oh, I need to go to a restaurant. Yeah, but you don't need to. We're talking about here cases where you need to enter department store to buy something, and you need that thing you're going to buy. Because if you're going to department store just to have a look around, as some sisters do, because they're bored and there is nothing to do, and you know there is music played, so here you are exposing yourself to that. The whole fatwa revolves around, again, that you need, the whole fatwa revolves around that if it happened that you are in a place that it is playing music and you never intend to listen to the music, then there is no harm in that. So, as you see, if you enter a department store and you have no intention to listen to the music, then inshallah there is no harm on you, according to the fatwa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And Allah knows best. Also, there is so many ahadith, so many narrations from Aisha and Anas ibn Malik and Ali radiallahu anhu and other companions who said that music and musical instruments and singing is haram. And of course, the Imams of Islam, their words against listening to music and musical instruments are many. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, مذهب الأئمة الأربعة أن آلات اللهو كلها حرام. The madhab, the opinion, the way of the four main Imams, that the musical instrument, all of it are haram. According to the four main Imams of Fiqh, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, according to their schools of thought, all the musical instruments are haram. And let me just give you a quick example from each madhab. Madhab Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, as Ibn al-Qayyim said, it is the harshest of madhab when it comes to this. And the madhab clearly say it is haram, prohibited to listen to the flute and the daf. A daf, the drum, and the malahi. Even they went to the extent that striking canes, when you have two canes and you strike them together so you can make musical sound, according to them it is haram and not allowed. And also in the madhab Imam Malik, Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he said that Imam Malik, he said, إِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُهُ عِنْدَنَا الْفُسَّاقِ Fasiq, misguided, and a disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the ones who play the music. And Ibn Abdul Bar rahimahullah, another scholar of the Maliki madhab, he said, all the wealth and the profit that you make from music, it is haram. It is haram. And he said, الربa, like usury, ومهور البغاية, and the money is taken for prostitution and bribery, and until he said, والغناء, and music. And also, in the madhab of the Shafi'i, the ulama of Shafi'iyya, they said, it is forbidden on someone to attend festivities where there is a music played. In Kifayat al-Akhyar, it's a book of Shafi'i, they said, and it is obligatory on the ones who attend such events to tell the people that what they are doing is haram. And also al-Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah, which is the great mufassir, he said, فَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ عُلَمَاءُ الْأَمْصَارِ عَلَى كَرَاهَةِ الْغِنَاءِ وَالْمَنْعِ مِنْهُ. And the ulama of the countries, they have agreed on a consensus that it is haram, forbidden, yani the music is haram and forbidden, al-man'i minhu, not to indulge into that. Our predecessors, when they used to say karaha, they mean it is haram. And of course, the Hanbali madhab is very well known about that. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said, al-malahi thalathatu adrub muharram. He said,
the idle talk and music are into three levels. First one, which is forbidden, which is وهو ضرب الأوتار والنايات والمزامير كلها والعود والطنبور والمعزفة والرباب ونحوها فمن دام استماعها ردت شهادته. He said that to play the musical instruments and play the flutes and the oud, which is similar to the guitar, all of it is haram. He said, and whomever continuously listened to it, we will not accept him as a witness in courts. This is, in summary, the proofs from the Quran, the proof from the Sunnah, the proofs from the words of the scholars, the proofs from the Sahaba and Ulama of Islam. So as you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, a Muslim should not take the issue of music and listening to music as something light, as the ulama have warned clearly about such an act. So this is to do with this verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْهَا كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ.
And when our verses of the Quran are recited to such a one, he turns away in pride as if he heard them not, as if there were deafness in his ear, so announced to him a painful torment. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and when this person who purchases idle talk listens to the Quran, he turns away with pride. And pride, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the pinnacle of sin, the mother of disobedience and kufr. Because the shaitan, what stopped him from prostrating to what Allah subhanahu created with his two hands? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to prostrate, he turned away with pride and he said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Pride is the ultimate and the pinnacle of sin and the motivation of sin. And pride itself, it deserves a lecture about pride and the evil of pride. What pride does in the life of the Muslim. So many people, my brothers and sisters in Islam, who are indulged and they waste their time in music, and music becomes part of their time, and idle talk becomes part of their life, they tend to turn away from the Quran, from the guidance, with pride. And also, not only that, I want to bring your attention to something. The one who call himself a comedian, and unfortunately now that it is comedy in the name of Islam, someone would come up and say, Allah created me funny, and he makes jokes. This is idle talk. It's not part of Islam. There is no such a thing as Islamic mockery. Secondly, ghiba and namima, backbiting and slander. The women who indulge in so much backbiting and slander, after a while, when you tell them fear Allah and stop talking, they turn away with pride and mockery and they laugh. And they would say, we're not really talking about them. We're not really, we're just saying what's happening and what has happened. But this is all idle talk. And that, if it makes its way to your heart, how can you benefit from the Quran? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that turn away from the Quran automatically, because there is no room for the Quran in your heart anymore. Your heart is so blackened and covered with evil and backbiting and slander. The Quran, it does not make any difference in your life anymore. You're not reacting with the Quran. That's why our ulama, they say, there is no such a thing as emptiness, faragh. There is no such a thing emptiness. There is no empty space. Everything is filled with something. Even if the room is empty, it is filled with air. So your heart can never be empty. Either it is filled with the Quran, or it is filled with backbiting and namima and idle talk and music. It cannot have both at the same time. There's no such a thing as empty space. And that's why our ulama, when they speak about the takhliya and the tahliya, a takhliya is to empty your heart, and the tahliya is to fulfill your heart. Is to fulfill your heart with what? With the Quran and the knowledge and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These verses, it has to leave a mark in our life, especially those two verses, because most of you are youth, and very important
to know that the youth of Islam are targeted more than anyone else. And we barely can hold on to our Islam in the Western countries. We do not need more evil, so we need to take extra precautions about our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes that person clearly. And wallahi, we see that example repeated in our life. We see it in our life day by day, that the people who indulge themselves in idle talk and in waste of time of music and playing the instruments of music and backbiting and slander and anything is considered an idle talk, you find them when they hear the Quran, they do not react easily with it. If they react, they do not implement it in their life. Why? Because their life is controlled by the shaitan. And the shaitan has befooled them already with his voice. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا وَلَّ مُسْتَكْبِرًا And when our verses, the Qur'an, are recited to such a one, he turns away in pride. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْهَا As if he heard them not, as if he didn't hear anything. As if he heard nothing, there is nothing has been said. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا As if there were deafness in his ear. While waqr here, whenever I was researching the word waqr, waqr in old Asian Arabic, classical Arabic, it is the heavy camel. The heavy camel that does not move easily, that sits all the time and does not walk much and doesn't do anything, it's called waqr. Then that word is used to anything that is heavy. And look at this simulation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that as if your ears are heavy and your body is heavy, as if you are deaf, when the Quran comes, it doesn't move you. Here Allah indirectly is saying, when the Quran comes to you, you have to move with it. You have to react with it. It has to make a change in your life as it has made a change in the life of the companions. That's what it means. Here he is saying, Al-Waqr, when the Quran came to them, they did not move. They did not react as if it's a big camel, fat camel that is sitting on the ground and just does not move no matter what happens in front of it. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا As if in his ears there is heaviness, there is deafness, it did even move him. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Why? Why is that? Because he used to purchase idle talk. Because he purchased it with his wealth. You go out and buy that music. You purchase it with your time. Because that time you're listening to it, you could be using something else with it. You purchase it with your life. You're exchanging the life in the Jannah with the life in Jahannam. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ The exchange is a losing exchange. It's unprosperous exchange. You're exchanging it with your wealth that Allah blessed you with. You're exchanging it with your time that Allah, He gave you that time to worship Him and not to waste it. And you're exchanging it with the Jahannam instead of that time be a mean for you to enter Jannah, then that time becomes a mean for you to enter Jahannam. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا فَبَشِّرْهُ Ya Allah, so announce, هِيَ فَبَشِّرْهُ فَبَشِّرْهُ Listen to the word. Al-Bushra literally translated as a glad tiding. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used it in a mean of mockery to them. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ فَبَشِّرْهُ With painful punishment. He turned away from the Qur'an with mockery. He turned away from the Qur'an with mockery. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying, a glad tiding unto you with Jahannam. And this is, we use it as a slogan in our day life. When someone breaks something or does something and he stuffs it up or does something wrong, you say to him, good on you, brother. Good on you, brother. And you know, it is not really you saying good on you, you've done very well. It means you're mocking them because you stuffed up something really bad and you said good on you. You really ruined it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبَشِّرْهُ Of course, Al-Bushra comes to the good people. But because he mocked the verses of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying, glad tiding unto you, you're going to Jahannam. Yani good on you. What you've done, it only led you to Jahannam. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ So the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be reflected on. And we have to follow it. And we have to turn away from the haram and turn away from the evil and stay away from anything that leads us to evil. We need to protect our life. As a final reminder, these two verses, to put them in a point form, these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to be away from the ones who buy and purchase idle talk, because they mislead themselves and they mislead others, and to stay away from them. And it is an advice for us to stay away from them. And they do that based on no knowledge. They have no knowledge of what they are doing. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, they have no knowledge of what they're doing. So they are doing it with no knowledge of what they are doing, which they do not know they are opposing Allah and His Messenger. And take the verses of Allah as a mockery, because also as a result of listening to your music, your heart would not open up to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told them there will be a humiliating torment for them. And when the verses of Allah are recited on them, they will turn away with pride. And pride is the worst sin. Pride is the worst sin because of the shaitan. He turned away from the word, from the order of Allah when He ordered him to prostrate, because of pride, as if he never heard the Quran. So Allah is telling us, when the Quran is recited, you must listen and understand what you are listening. Otherwise, we'll become like the ones who are deaf and we do not comprehend the Quran. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. May Allah reward you all for your listening, and inshallah, if there is any question, we will take it. Other than that, we seal the lesson with this.